Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Or as we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're going to open the program today, our Jummah. We want to welcome you to it here in Los Angeles, California, in the Watts District. I'm your Khatib for the day. My name is Muhammad Khatib. I'm the Grand Sheikh of Islamic culture in the Western region here in Los Angeles. And we want to go ahead and call the second adhan and get started on our Jummah in just a moment. Today we're going to be giving a talk, and it's entitled Plant Your Mental Life in the Fertile Field of Islam, or more commonly called Al-Islam, or correctly called Al-Islam, which means the submission or total submission to the will of the Creator, Allah. So we're going to get started in just a moment. I want to welcome you again to the Jummah today. And one moment, please. We got to call in. Hassan, try to call for that and see if he can come through. Alhamdulillah. So I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast also. And this is brought to you by blogtalkradio.com and one of our local imams, Amin Muhammad, is the sponsor for our Jummah. And we really appreciate his work and support of this Islamic cause. So we're going to call the second adhan and go ahead and get started on the Jummah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu an Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah,
la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Praises and thanks are due to Allah the Most High, Creator of the heavens and the earth. We praise Allah, we seek His aid, His guidance, and His forgiveness. And as we say, Alhamdulillah, Ahmaduhu astainahu wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. In the translation, brothers and sisters, we have said that we praise Allah, we seek His aid, His guidance, and His forgiveness. And I bear witness openly that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah. He is the one and only. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. We again want to welcome you to our Jummah. And as I mentioned earlier, today's talk is all about the planting of the mind. We need to plant our life, our mind, plant the life in the fertile field of Al-Islam. And Al-Islam is indeed a fertile domain, a fertile field, a fertile environment, a potent environment. It is a living and always living environment. What we practice is Al-Islam as followers of Muhammad, to whom the Holy Quran was revealed, prayers to Allah be upon him and peace. What we practice as His followers is the final amount of religious revelation, the final amount of revelation that Almighty God is going to send to mankind. It's been accumulated. The words of Allah have been accumulated into the form of a book. So we actually have it in our hands right now. And this knowledge, this eternal knowledge, is the final. But it will live forever. It is potent. and it gives to us, offers us a fertile field of knowledge to live in. A fertile field of knowledge to live in. Al-Islam is alive and well. It always has been and it always will be. It started being revealed to mankind when Allah made mankind, Adam. When Allah made Adam, the first human being, Allah gave him revelation, gave him all of what he wanted Adam to know. And he taught our father Adam, the first human being and the first prophet, taught him the nature of everything. And the Quran says the names, names meaning nature or meaning, taught him the nature of everything. And so from that time, since that time all the way to now, there have been selected persons, messengers, who have been given revelation. And we live by that. Allah has promised that this protection or this revelation, his revelation will live forever. These are actually his own words, Allah's words. And make sure that your phone is either on mute or try to be very quiet, please. Thank you. Okay. Don't, if you can, let me see. Let's see if we can call him back. Don't hang up, brothers and sisters. We have people on the phone. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. Don't hang up, brothers and sisters. Stay on the line.
All clear.
Okay, the same, call him back. And be careful because I think it was on mute.
Oh.
He needs to listen, though. Alhamdulillah. So, brothers and sisters, excuse me for that interruption. Everyone, stay on the line. Try to make sure that your phone is on mute. And so we were saying that, and you have to be very quiet if you can. We're recording, so try to whisper if you're talking on the other side. Thank you. Anyway, so what we're doing today is we're trying to make sure that what we're communicating is giving you information on the fact that Al-Islam lives and it never dies. And it is protection. It is protection that, and it's a love, it's a help, it's a happiness, it's a mercy, it's a strength. Al-Islam is like a food. It is nourishment. Like plants get nourishment from the earth, well, this way of life gives you nourishment, gives us nourishment. And as I was saying in the introduction or in the title, is that Al-Islam, as I was saying in the title, Al-Islam is like you want to take your seeds, your mind, use your knowledge, plant yourself like a seed in this fertile field of Al-Islam, and it will grow you, it will develop you, just like the earth develops plants. It's mental food, moral food, it's human food, it's nutrition for your life. The soil is good for the plant, and Al-Islam is good for us. It's life-giving nutrition for the food. It's life-giving nutrition, it's food for you, it's goodness for you, it's order for you. It's the minerals of life. Just like the plant gets minerals from the earth, our religion, Al-Islam, this way of life, feeds you too. It is the soil of life. It's the main supporter of your psychological life, your inner life, your human life. In fact, it is a support. It supports you like if you were in a vehicle. If you were in a vehicle. Only difference is that Al-Islam makes you, Allah's word makes you part and parcel of the vehicle. We are made out of the earth. so is our creation, or should I say, so is our way of life. Al-Islam is made out of what Allah's will wanted to happen on the earth, and we're part of that. That's why Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, was called the Quran. He's called the Quran walking. He received Allah's revelation. And as a human being, as a prophet, a human being, he is part of that revelation. He is part and parcel of that revelation. He lived it so well that it could not be taken out of him. There was no way that he would disobey Allah. That's why many people call him the perfect human being. So Al-Islam is a vessel or a vehicle for us, and we are alive mentally, spiritually, humanly, as a soul. We're alive in America, and we're alive anywhere in creation that we go. Only because of Al-Islam, only because of Allah's will. And you can withstand any environment. A lot of Muslims don't realize that, you know, we can withstand America with Al-Islam. We can survive America, and we can progress in this society as well as any other on the earth. There was a time when you asked Allah for help. You begged Allah for help. You needed a new life or a better life. You needed a real life, and Allah granted it to you. Allah made you his khalifa, his caretaking agent. Allah gave you a life that is the highest life in the creation. Your life is so high, so profound. Your life is so good. Your life is so good, so profound, so high, that you actually have a special recognition. And your recognition that's stated in the Quran is that Allah has made you his inheriting agent. Allah has made you his special agent, his inheriting agent. And you might have heard me mention in some of the other talks that the government agents of the world, they are so happy and pleased to be serving their governments. They're so happy and pleased to be really careful and watchful not to divulge how they are interacting with the rest of the society. They are really happy to be a secret agent. Well, Allah said that he has made you his special agent. And if the government person is happy to be the agent of the government, then you know you should be happy to be the agent of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah has granted you everything that he wants you to have. He hears your call. When you called on Allah and said, oh, Allah, save me. Oh, Allah, help me. Oh, Allah, protect me. Guide me. Forgive me. Strengthen me. Give me knowledge and power. Oh, Allah, let me believe in you. Let me worship you and serve you. Let me do everything I can. Please save me. Allah heard you. He hears and he sees everything. Allah looks into the whole self. And he knows your sincerity. He knows what you need. Allah is your creator. And he gave you Al-Islam for you to live. That's your answer. Al-Islam is the answer to all of your calls, all of your prayers, all of your desires, and all of your desires for help. Allah has assigned, he has assigned this way of life for you. He has assigned this way of life for you, so it's nothing foreign. It's nothing strange and weird. You actually are part and parcel of the way of life called Al-Islam. It's one of its names is Deen Al-Fitra, which means that the way of life, this way of life, Al-Islam, is made out of the very order of creation that you're made out of the very substance of creation that you're made out of. Allah gave you this, and it fits you better than a fine suit. It fits your very nature. Fits your very thinking, your very way, all of your ways and inclinations. Allah has given you Al-Islam so that you will live the best of yourself. Allah gives you the Al-Islam so that you can live the best of yourself, and there's nothing false or nothing unreal in it. Allah says about the language which connects you with your way of life, he says, that in this book or in this revelation, is no doubt. There's nothing false in it. And this religion is called Khair. It's called the best. Khair. Al-Islam is the instruction for us. It's a pattern for us on how we are to live. We say we want to serve Allah. We ask Allah to help us. We ask Allah to save us. Well, you have things that you have to do to show that you appreciate what Allah is going to do for you or is doing for you and really has done for you, because just the fact that you created is a blessing and a mercy and a help to you. Allah has chosen you, and He's chosen this way of life for you. So you have a pattern or a set of instructions. You have a set of instructions that if you perform them, you will be successful. And Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he showed us how to perform. He showed us how to perform this set of instructions. He showed us how to perform this way of life. And he showed us how to live it perfectly, so that if we follow the messenger of Allah, welcome to our Juma. Everyone, please put your phone on mute so we can't hear you. Thank you. Make sure and put your phones on mute, please. Thank you. SubhanAllah. Hold on just a moment, brothers and sisters. Oh, my God. Okay, what I want is for everybody to hang up and call back, because we can't have people arguing on the phone during Juma or whatever you're doing. Thank you. SubhanAllah. Okay, if you can hear the Juma, please make sure that your phone is on mute. SubhanAllah. Okay. All right, everyone stay on the line, please. I realize it's very difficult times out there, and you have family members and different ones that you have to wrestle with, and it hurts. It hurts you to, you can hardly move. My mother had 8 children, and sometimes she would say, I can't even eat for you. I can't go to the bathroom for you. Stay on the line, brothers and sisters. Don't hang up. Okay. We're going to add a call here. And inshallah, this will work for everyone. Maslam. Okay, brothers and sisters, we apologize for the interruptions, but we're going to keep on going. And now I'm going to continue. Alhamdulillah. So as we were saying, the minerals, the plants receive minerals, and you receive strength from the religion the same way as plants receive minerals from the earth. This way of life is alive, and it will always be alive, and it is Allah who has blessed us with this way of life. Allah sees and hears everything, and He has assigned for you this way of life, Al-Islam, and it is the correct way of life. We ask Allah to bless us, and to guide us, and to help us, and to strengthen us. This way of life called Al-Islam is quite a powerful way of life. It's quite a powerful, it is really the only true way of life if you want success. We're going to try to let the family back in, but they're going to have to be quiet. Let me see if we can do this again. Okay, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's try this again. All right, so Al-Islam is the correct way of life. It's the correct way to worship Allah. And we are forbidden to worship anything with Allah. We are not to misuse Al-Islam. Because when we join partners with Allah, we are actually misusing al-Islam. What al-Islam teaches us, if you join anything with it, it's called bid'ah. If we extract anything or we extract values and we pick and choose and we place anything else as a form of worship, that's bid'ah. If we put that, if we worship anything or anyone ever, that's bid'ah besides Allah. So fasting outside of Ramadan, or the way that we are taught to fast during Ramadan, that's bid'ah. To be we're committing a sin if we make salat and we are adding anything to it that the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not demonstrate. That is bid'ah. So we are Muslims are protected by the religion itself. All we have to do is follow the religion. We're protected by the religion itself. What is in the religion, as demonstrated by Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, we are protected from falsehood. We are protected from what the people in the world profess is religion. Their professed faith is fake, unless they believe in Allah and Muhammad and all of the messengers. And Allah has messengers. He said he's made messengers from men and from angels. Jibril, peace be upon him, he is the messenger angel that brings the revelation of Allah to human beings. That's his job. So when we speak about Jibril, you'll hear Muslims say, alayhi salam, just as though we were talking about Jesus or Moses or Abraham or any other messenger. Peace be upon them. We are to believe in Allah. We are to believe in his messengers. We are to believe in the books. The Quran is guidance for us. It's direction for us. It is guidance for us. It is healing for us. It is mercy for us. That's what the Quran is. So we want to make sure that we hold on to what Allah has blessed us with. And by following the Quran to the best of your ability, brothers and sisters, and every day you should get your Quran and open it up and just read, even if you can only read a few words. And it's even better if you write down the verse. It's even better if you write it down, because the Prophet, the prayer and the peace be upon him, said that increases or aids your memory. To remember Allah and to remember what Allah has said, that is salvation for us. When other people claim that they have religion or they have some individuals that they have to pray to and all, that is haram. That is falsehood. Muslims do not pray to anything or anyone except Allah. We only pray to Allah. So we don't follow the unbelievers. They make figurines, they make statues and the little images and idols and all. We do not pray to those things. They practice false religion. And some of them will tell you, bless you, bless you. They're not talking about bless you from Allah. They're talking about they want you to be joined with their idol. They want to believe that their idol has power, and they want you to believe that. It's a lot of Muslims don't realize, you know, and we feel kind of religious or we feel like forgiving when we get around people just because they say they're a priest or they're a rabbi, and we feel a kind of a religious connection with them. You have to be very careful about that, because Allah says that if you were to follow their vain desires, then you would be ruined. Allah says their desire is to change your religion. Their desire is to get you to stop believing in Allah. And Allah says if they were to follow you, then they would be on right guidance. But we are not allowed to follow other people and the falsehood that they have. They have beautiful robes, or they might have a big old giant place to worship in. And we're not to attack those places, but we are not to practice the falsehood, the rituals, the forbidden things that they do. Allah says one of the worst things, I think it's the worst thing that they can do, is to call upon Jesus and say that he is the Son of God. Allah says that the mountains are ready to fall down in utter ruin, that they would say that Allah has a son. So that's how wicked, really, it is for us to find any sort of interest or curiosity in what other people fake up and call religion. So we are forbidden to follow them. They're actually wrong-way drivers, and you know how dangerous they are. Wrong-way driving in life. So all praises to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We are definitely blessed to be Muslim. You have to cherish this way of life. And we are trying to make sure that we don't allow others to smear their falsehood on us or to smear it on our clean and perfect guidance and clean and perfect concept of what the way of what the real way of life is. The true way of life is what everybody was made out of, but there are those who have gone astray from that. To worship anything besides Allah is to go astray. That it's for man to go astray. Mankind, when Adam was created, he had but one entity to thank for his creation. He had but one being to obey and to worship and to be grateful for his creation, and that was Allah. These other things that they talk about are more recent inventions. These are inventions against Allah, against Allah's name, and against the actual creation that Allah has made. And they want us to worship a tree or a stone, or they want us to worship wood, or they want us to worship blood or worship violence. Do you realize that when the priest tells you, let me smear this blood on you, or let me get you to drink some of it, or let me get you to bite this flesh or chew this flesh or eat this little cracker or whatever, he's inviting you to false worship. He's inviting you to cannibalism. He's inviting you to a beast mentality. That's why, in fact, Muslims are forbidden to drink blood or to eat flesh, even of animals, raw flesh and blood. So you know we are forbidden to eat or drink the flesh of a human being. And look at what they say. They say that the human being was murdered. In fact, they say the human being that they call Jesus, this is not the real Jesus, but they say he even asked for it. So in other words, he's suicidal. And then he was ordered, they say, by God, which would make God a killer of his own son. So you see the confusion and the madness that's involved in their religion. Why would you give your mind to that? A natural mind. You're a human being. Why would you give your mind to these riddles and these made-up doctrines that have done nothing for the world but create chaos? Look how bloodthirsty the people of the Western societies are. And they're coming to you as an army, calling themselves followers of Jesus or coming in the name of Jesus. And they come into countries and they slaughter the people. They kidnap the people. They rape the people. They murder the people. They're still doing it today. Their sophistication at gathering people and pooling people is so, their doctrine and their ability to do that is so strong that they actually can get you to gather in the church. Gather in the meetings, and then you don't realize it, but the priest is right there looking at who he wants to trick or molest, and so they're still devouring the people. They're still eating on the flesh of the people. They're still flesh worshipers, and they you see that they don't believe in their doctrine, or it has no saving power because they won't even follow it their own selves. And look at the chaos they've created, how the families are so torn and destroyed because the priest was caught molesting the little boy or the little girl, and he's actually a homosexual. And they can't get mad enough at the priest, and they won't broadcast it because then it cascades or makes like dominoes, makes the rest of the homosexual lust in society or the homosexual concept in society start falling to pieces. So brothers and sisters, as people who are ex-slaves or ex-captives, we should see now that the so-called master is so weak and that he's so stupid and that he's so vulgar and so filthy and so corrupt that why in the world would we be following them or they? I call them the criminal they. Why would we be following their way of life? Why would we value their way of life? Why would we be listening to their pronouncements? And part of their pronouncements is that the various races, according to their color, are no good, or according to their color, they are good. So we need to see that it's time for us to actually reclaim our own selves, reclaim ourselves. I was telling a lady the other day, I said, you got to realize that we are the descendants or the children of the people who were captured and attacked, you know, attacked and captured and kidnapped and from Africa. I said, that's why we're over here talking in Los Angeles. I said, they brought our ancestors over here hundreds of years ago, and they have misused us and abused us, and their idea of our worth is still very, very low. They'll try to seduce the woman so that they can thereby control the family or the community or that species or that part of society. If they got a weak link in the chain, and I don't mean a woman is weak inherently, but what I mean is that she has Allah said in the Quran that she has a weakness that the man does not have. And part of that weakness is her sentiment. Part of that weakness is her sentiment or her willingness to accept the environment that she's put in. And the male is not like that. He usually wants to lead. He usually wants to control. He usually wants to guard and protect. He usually wants to fight against anything that tries to bring about change within that culture or that family or that society. That's why the men are seen as warlike or aggressive or arrogant or whatever, more than a female. The female is milder. She's nice. Allah gives her the children so that she can shape them in kindness and mercy and forgiveness and beauty and you know, fun and those kinds of things, comfort and warmth. The male is not like that. So the devils of Europe, the wicked ones, and they are devils if they were involved in the slave trade, and just about every single one of those European families got some benefit out of the slave trade and the attack on Africa, India, and other places, America. The devils want to hypnotize. It's a sort of hypnotism, because Pharaoh said, we'll kill the males. You know, Pharaoh, the wicked king of Egypt, he said, we'll kill the males, but we'll save alive the females, because over them we have influence or power irresistible. So that they use the natural makeup of the woman against her, and not just against her, but they use it against the people that they despise. They use it against the people, the women of the people of that they despise, and thereby use it against the whole culture or that whole race or that whole group of people that they despise. And they can manipulate them like that. And so, and not just one generation, when they control the females, they can use the females to give them more children, or they just use the children that the female already have. Because, you know, in the case of Moses, they said, all we need to do is kill the firstborn. Because, you know, Moses had siblings. So they said, we just kill the firstborn, and then we'll control that people. And the firstborn doesn't just mean the oldest child. It also means, in religion, it's even more importantly, means leadership. We'll destroy the leadership so that the people will thereby be made blind, or they'll be living more in their feelings. You know, when you're blind, you don't live by sight. You live by your feelings. You have to touch and go. Touch and go, as they say. So they know that if they can knock out the leadership of our people, and I'm so happy that we have imams and sheikhs on this line, so that we can get a chance to really realize more of our value and our importance in communicating with our people, with the Muslim culture. But even more than that, we want to touch the leadership that's in everybody who's listening, because we have sisters listening. And the mother actually, in not just in what we described as some of the weaknesses, but her great strength is if she gets truth, she actually is the leader, the first leader for the children. So she can tell them
what the order is and thereby bring forth more leadership, more power, more strength against the enemy if she is well informed and educated. That's why the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, you will go to heaven if you would, if you would, he said, by any door you want, if you would educate two females. And one of his companions said, well, I only have one daughter. What if you only have one daughter and you educate her? The prophet Solomon said, yes, you'll go to heaven for educating even one female. Because the children will listen to the mother, so the mother gets an opportunity, not like in this society where they want her just to be there for a bed partner and to shake her behind and to run their companies for them and mislead her own race from a blessed destiny. You know, after they, the women supported Dr. King and Malcolm and Hon. Elijah Muhammad, women paid great attention. Our mothers and grandmothers paid great attention to these great leaders. But then they came along and they murdered Dr. King, and they murdered Malcolm, and Hon. Elijah Muhammad passed, and they shook the people up, and they inserted false leaders like the movie leaders, you know, Superfly, the Mac, and, you know, one of the things that they had, if you remember, is that they had the woman's hair, you know, and some guys still do that. They want to dress like a woman, put earrings in their ear and have the long ponytails and the long braids and the next thing you know they're wearing thin and skin tight clothes. And you know, some of the singers, they had the skin tight clothes and the various clothes that reminded you of how a woman might be dressed up when she's dressed like a pagan. And the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, if a man dressed like a woman, he's cursed. And if a woman dressed like a man, he's cursed. So there needs to be a distinction. And on top of that, Allah tells the believers to dress modestly. So we're not wearing no tight clothes that's showing our bodies and showing off in the public. And the mother is to be teaching all these wonderful things. All these wonderful things. But anyway, we want our leadership to stand up and to be strong. And we want you to plant your children, plant ideas and thoughts, Islamic ideas and thoughts, Quranic ideas and thoughts. These are Allah's words. Plant that in your children and make sure that your children have the opportunity to be good Muslims. That way we will be producing a brand new level of leaders or a brand new set of leaders, even if they were to destroy the firstborn, and they're working very hard at it. But I tell you, Allah knows perfectly how to strike back. And look at how all these Zionists and all these hypocrites and all these wicked so-called religious leaders, priests and whatnot, rabbis and stuff, are getting caught up in Allah says he'll make it like a coil around their own neck. He'll make it recoil or tighten up around their own neck, the devices that they're trying to put on the Muslims. So we are well protected, brothers and sisters, but we don't want to just be waiting on Allah. The Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, trust in Allah, but tie your camel. So we want to make sure that we are out here every day doing our deeds, doing our da'wah, open the Quran up, read the Quran, write it down, so you can get thoughts that will motivate you, that will strengthen you, that will give you power, that will make you a potent speaker or leader or thinker, that will make you think in depth. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said one of the reasons, and it's right in the Quran, this is actually a verse in the Quran, and it says that the reason that people of the past were destroyed is because they wouldn't think deeply. They would not reflect. So brothers and sisters, if you want to be a Muslim, be a real Muslim. Be a strong Muslim. Don't be shy about being a Muslim, but be bold in being a Muslim. Be strong in being a Muslim. Be a Muslim that is, oh, what is the life of this world? It's nothing. Don't be thinking you're going to hold on to the life of this world, and if you keep obeying the so-called authorities in society, they won't bother you, like you hiding out or something. Don't be shy. Be bold and stand up and invite people to al-Islam. Allah said, call them to the faith. Call them to al-Islam. Call them to that which will beautify them and which will baptize them. Allah says in the Holy Quran, it says, Sibgatullah. Sibgatullah. Wama asanu. Let me see if I can look it up. It's Sibgatullah. Waman asana asanu minallahi sibgata. It says the baptism of Allah. And who can baptize better than Allah? And I remember the last part. It says, "Nahnu lahu abidun," and we to Him are submitters, worshipers. We worship Allah. Who can baptize you better than Allah? And see, you go into the different religious services of other people that call themselves baptizing people, and they sprinkle them, and they dip them, and they almost drown them. But that's not baptism. You throw a bar of soap in there, squirt some body soap on them, you're basically giving them a bath. But the baptism of Allah is al-Islam. The baptism of Allah is this word of Allah in this way of life called al-Islam. Now you are, and the word sibgata doesn't just mean baptized, but it means to color something, to color it through and through. So Allah is telling you that He can drench you, change you, immerse you, totally change you into that which will be pleasing. And He says no one can change you or influence you or arrange you or set you better than He can. With what? Al-Islam. Wa man asanu minallahi sibgata. Who can baptize you better than Allah? And the answer is no one. Everybody and everything that exists was created by Allah. So who are other people to come to us and give us these false doctrines, especially these false doctrines of the West, where our own people are seen as less than or are relegated to some low position in society or ignored altogether, except to be treated like some kind of a animal or something. In fact, in this society, they treat their animals with great love and affection, whereas they would allow a whole race to just be degraded. Look how the drug dealers, the drug smugglers, the cartel criminals over in Mexico and Central America, Colombia and other places, and even here in the United States now. You go out into the forest and they find these marijuana grows. And they're out there, these people are making, they got what they call the meth kitchens. They're cooking up drugs and they're poisoning us. What kind of friends or neighbors do we have, or what kind of fellow citizens or other people that we would like to call human beings, what kind of creatures are they when they're actually destroying or damaging, injuring our very existence? To the point that it is recorded or documented that 40 to 60,000 citizens died of drug overdose last year. They got this new thing called fentanyl, this new thing called fentanyl, and it's so toxic, so potent, it says it's 150 to 100 times more powerful than morphine. It's so powerful that if some of it gets on the skin of the agents who are trying to arrest these people, or the firemen who are trying, and the hazmat people who are trying to collect this junk to destroy it, if some of the liquid gets on the person's hand, the firefighter or policeman can die. So what are these people doing that we're letting people in here that are and that we're trusting people in our own neighborhood, sometimes in our own families, that to give us something that they say will make us higher, they'll make us more alert. You're letting people have your mind. You're letting idiots have your mind. You're playing with your mind. You're playing with your sanity. You're playing with your mental health by letting people that you don't even know give you something questionable, something that anything that alters your natural nature, anything that alters your natural and original creation. Original. Honorable Elijah Muhammad did a great job. May Allah be pleased with him when he emphasized that we are the original man, and you want to be the original man. You want to assert yourself as the original human being. Well, our originality has always been important. We want to be just as original as our father Adam. And our father Adam didn't need to add anything to his creation to be one who was worthy, or Allah chose to give him all of the answers, all of everything he needed, everything in nature that he needed to be qualified as completely wonderful, beautiful, and strong. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went on the ascension, he asked Jibril, he said, "Who is that?" And Jibril, because he looked so well-developed and so handsome and so strong and so powerful and so just everything, thus and so. I guess a good woman look at Adam and just faint because he had all the handsomeness and everything. And Jibril said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who is that?" And Jibril said, "That's your father, Adam." So Allah had given Adam everything that mankind needs. He was not the completed man. Adam was the potent, or the forerunner man. He was potential man. That's who Adam was, the potential man. And because of Adam, look at all these, Allah says, countless men and women have come from Adam and Eve. Brothers and sisters, we should be so grateful for what Allah is doing for us. We should be so grateful for what Allah is doing for us as Muslims. We should not be shy about being believers at all. All you're doing is being natural. All you're doing is being original. All you're doing is being the best human being on the earth. Don't let nobody approach you with contamination. This nonsense. Hey, try this. They want you to, you're going to pay for your own death. You're buying drugs from the enemies of Allah, from the friends of Satan. You're buying drugs and allowing the power of the society to go down, the power of the family to go down, the power of the individual to go down, where he can't think clearly anymore. He can't perform or interact with his family anymore. He can't perform well in society anymore. He becomes one of the ones who wants to cannibalize. He becomes one of the ones who wants to cannibalize other members of the society. When the human being is out of order, when the human being is out of order, he begins to cannibalize the other members of society, because he steals to get the drugs, he murders to get the drugs, he's out here all time of day and night distributing the drugs, he's killing people. The new babies that are in the wombs of the women that get on the drugs, they're damaging the child, damaging the children. Brothers and sisters, we can't win this. We can't win that corruption if we would give ourselves to it. I heard Imam Muhammad one time say this, our great leader. He said that if you become a Muslim, a believer in Al-Islam, he said only one can destroy you is yourself. But the law says in the Quran, he will not oppress you. He will not destroy you when you are innocent. So the only way you can be destroyed is if you let yourself be destroyed by yourself or others. So I'm commanding you, as Allah has commanded you, do not be a follower of anyone in this society except another believer who believes better than you. And that's according to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. He said, no one is better than you except someone who is equal or better than you. So you be careful. And Allah says in the Quran that do not use or take as your friends unbelievers rather than believers. And do not take for your friends the Jews or the Christians. He says they are lovers and people who care about each other, but they do not care about you. And so Allah says that if you are in the need of yourself and others, then that's fine. So let us wake up and realize that we don't have any good life that we want to waste or try out on the unbelievers. We have a duty to call them to the faith, call them with da'wah, but we do not have any duty to take them for a friend or protector and sit under their leadership. because Allah says they will lead you astray. There's a verse in the Quran that I often repeat. It says, "Wa in tuti akthara man fil ard yudiluka an sabilillah." It says, if you were to follow the common run of those on earth or in your land or your society, they would lead you away from the way of Allah. In yattabiuna ila zanna wa in hum ila yakhrusun. They follow nothing but guesswork. They follow nothing but their whims. They do nothing but lie. Look at the doctrines and the false laws and the wicked so-called religious doctrines and religious so-called verses and books that have led away and led astray billions and billions and billions of people, caused millions and billions of people to be in the grave and in prison, out of their minds, and their very idea of what is family life is wrong. First of all, they start lying and tell you that the homosexual, that is the priest who is abusing these children, they're calling him what? Father. That's a lie right there. And then the nuns and the different ones, they're calling them the mothers or the sisters. Well, none of them want to have family life for real. Think about it. None of them want to have family life for real. They want you to take them, the people who have rejected family life, as your leaders. That doesn't make any sense at all. That makes no sense at all. We're not going to accept them as our leaders. And look how much time and effort and money and manpower they put into building up institutions, building up buildings, building up, you know, they got a whole convents and retreats and all that they built, where they dedicate themselves to making their heads, their minds, so powerful in falsehood, though, so powerful that they are like that they are, it's like awesome, it's dazzling. Allah says in the Quran, you would meet the type of person whose speech about this world's life will dazzle you. And that's what they do. They make their heads so hard, like that stone, cold stone that they worship. They make their heads so hard that you cannot deal with them. No. Allah says you take the Quran and hurl it against falsehood and knock out its brain. Hurl the truth against falsehood. And guess what? Even if it doesn't kill or destroy that which you are talking to or speaking to, because most of them, Allah's in the Quran, they won't believe in you. Even if it doesn't destroy them, what will it do for you? That same truth will knock the falsehood and keep the falsehood, guard you against the falsehood in your own mind. Because you got ears, don't you? So when you think of something that Allah says in the Holy Quran and you live it, then you're protecting yourself at the same time that Allah says in the Quran, you're creating a veil invisible. It's called mastura, hijabun mastura. Hijabu mastura means a veil invisible between you and the falsehood mongers. So don't believe in them, brothers and sisters. Don't send your children to their schools either. I know some Muslim children, they send them to the Catholic school. And I don't have the, you know, statistics or anything like that. But if you can find a better school, it's better to put them in a Muslim school or homeschool them. It's better to put them in a Muslim school. Yeah. Inshallah, the Muslim school is affordable. Some of them are not. But you may have to homeschool them. I think every school system in the country has a homeschooling system. Or you might have to be so super bold like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and just be quiet and school them at home anyway. But the most important thing that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said is for your children to get education, Islamic education. He said the best thing you can teach them is Islamic manners. Yes. See, these falsehoods don't stand a chance when our children are brought up properly. They don't stand a chance because our central knowledge is the Quran. So the Quran is direction. The Quran is direction. The Quran is guidance. The Quran is healing. The Quran is mercy. So the child's growing up on that. He's growing up on the word of Allah, and he knows right from wrong in a profound way. Yes, that's how we have to be. Al-Abbadi Muhammad said they're not going to the devil's school. He calls it the devil's school. And his wife was with him in that. And that's another thing. The sisters, you know, I saw this at a very early age. It's very difficult for the sisters to listen to or obey the husband or follow the husband or cooperate with the husband. Very difficult. And that's one of the reasons that the African-American family is just so weak. The devils have found they've got special, powerful, influential magic, lies, falsehood, where they are and wealth, bling, a lot of trinkets to seduce the woman away from her powerful, God-given role in family and have her serving the society, giving her all to the unbelievers and giving her all to the wrongdoers, giving her all to the former slave master. Well, the Muslim sisters that's on here, and I hope you will have influence with others and begin to work, do everything you can to convince the Bilalian people, the African-American people, to come back to that which is real. I told the sister the other day, I said, you got to understand that we did not have this false religion of the slave masters over here. I said, in Africa, we had the way. Excuse me. You have to be quiet wherever you are. Thank you. In Africa, we had the way of life of our ancestors. And I'm talking about the ancestors that were influenced by what Allah sent in the Holy Quran. And Africans have been Muslims for over 1,000 years, even the West Africans. I'm not talking about the East Africans up in Abyssinia or Ethiopia, where the Muslims ran out of Mecca and Medina and went into Africa to be protected. I'm talking about the black West African coast were Muslims. They've been Muslims for over 1,000 years. So that's why the Europeans, the Caucasians, when they stole us out of Africa, they didn't want us to be involved with no books and involved with no educating and lessons or anything, because they wanted us to fall down mentally and become more animalistic so they could work us. They only were interested in working us physically, not in us having mental, moral, and spiritual development, which if you study any kind of books, you could just study basketball and you'll learn some principles of right and wrong. You could learn any kind of knowledge will eventually give you some idea of right and wrong, unless it's just a straight-out devil knowledge. But especially they didn't want us to practice any kind of human contact, and they would break us up into little groups and sell us off and put us into extreme shock when they sell your mother or impregnate your mother or rape your sister in front of you or beat your brother to death. We've been living in shock for hundreds of years, brothers and sisters. So only thing we can do is call the people, tell them to drop that false religion, so-called Christianity. I told a lady the other day, and she was with her husband, and I said, don't you realize, look around you. I said, do you really think these people or this society is a product of Jesus' teachings? You really think Jesus left people like this? I said, no, it's the ones who hated Jesus, the ones he called the children of the devil. I said, these are their inventions that we're living over here in this society. I said, but we must stop. I said, that's why I became a Muslim. I said, we must stop following this society. We must stop following these wicked Jews who are being shown now to have raped 200 or 300 women. Stop following these wicked Caucasian priests, white priests, who are showing that they're nothing but pedophiles and homosexuals and rapists. Why are we following them? Why would we give out the best of ourselves to what they have said? And all the knowledge around us is what they've been saying for hundreds of years. That's why this society looks so intact. That's why it looks so wonderful or so good and so attractive, because they've had all these years to put all of their different little inventions together. But the worst inventions they put together and the most effective and dangerous and deadly and wicked and diabolical inventions that he put together is the things for us to think. Brothers and sisters, get the Quran and think Quranically. Why not be a Hafiz of a Quran? to some degree, whatever degree you can. Why not study the Quran so that you become like Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, where they detect you have been influenced or are influenced by Quran just by how you look, just by how you, what you say. Be the Quran walking. Be the Quran in the flesh. Nothing wrong with that. We're going to go into the second part of the talk. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. In this second part of the talk, brothers and sisters, we're just going to go over a few of the attributes of Allah so that we would be able to think on the glory of Allah and what He does for us and how awesome Allah is and how we get so much protection from Allah. Allah gives us justice. He's Al-Adl, the just. Allah is the one who is the protector and the provider. The protector is Al-Muhaymin. I lost my place there. He's the guardian, Al-Muhaymin, the protector. Allah is the one who is Al-Jabbar. He can protect you, and he can defeat enemies, and he can make people do what he wants them to do. People are not, even though we think we have big thoughts about ourselves, we're not that awesome, brothers and sisters. We're not that great. We're not as big as we think we are. Allah is greater and more important. We're a little thing. We're a very little thing, and we all depend on Allah, even when we don't realize it. But the friends of Shaitan, Allah said in the Quran, he buoys them up with false hopes. He tricks them. He lies to them. He makes them think that they can do anything they want. He makes them think that they'll live forever. So Shaitan's followers do very, very wicked things, and then they don't know until they get to the end and they find out that actually they're going to be destroyed. They're going to die. They're going to suffer forever and ever. They'll be alive while they're dying and suffering. And then they'll be dead from the horrors of what they have done and be brought back to life and suffer some more forever and ever and ever. But getting back to what we were saying, Allah is the one. He is the one who is irresistible. He is the one who is glorious, Al-Jalil. He is praiseworthy, Al-Hamid. He's Al-Wali, the protector and the protecting friend. Allah is the one who is most merciful. Out of all who show you mercy, they only can show mercy because of Allah. And out of all who show mercy, it is Allah who shows and who is the most merciful, Ar-Rahim. He is Ar-Rahman, the beneficent. He is Al-Malik. Al-Malik, he is the divine king, ruler. Al-Quddus, the holy one. You like to feel spiritual and holy, and you love going to the Jummah and to the different gatherings, and you make the dhikr or the dhikr circle, and you feel so good. Well, that's the mercy of Allah. That's the closeness and nearness to Allah. You are being blessed by Allah, Al-Quddus. Allah is the one who is As-Salam. He brings you the peace. He brings you the peace. Peace overcomes you or comes over you when you call on him and when you reflect on Allah. And Allah is the one who is the keeper of faith. He is Al-Mu'min, the keeper of faith, or the guardian of faith. He is the preserver of safety. Allah is the one who loves you, Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud, the very loving, very loving. Allah will live forever, and He never changes. He's Al-Qayyum, the eternal. He never changes on you, brothers and sisters. So if you have a good way of life, a good relationship with Allah, a good relationship with your prayers, a good relationship with giving the zakat, a good relationship with the fasting, a good relationship with the concept of hajj, which is to struggle against falsehood and to struggle to make yourself obey Allah and do what you're supposed to do. And you have strong faith in Allah and you believe in Allah. Well, keep those relationships. Because that is part and parcel of your makeup. That is actually that which will always feed your makeup. And as I mentioned earlier in the talk and what the talk was about today, is that this religion or way of life, Al-Islam, it feeds you just as Mother Earth would feed a plant. It nourishes you. It protects you. You get the vitamins and the minerals. You get the strength. You get the very fiber of your being. You get everything you need to be successful. Allah says he brings you into growth. And as a Rabbil Alameen, he brings you into growth. He protects you. He looks over you until you reach your fullness. That's what Allah does for us. And he will continue to do that for us. So he is the eternal. Allah is the bountiful. Allah is not deficient on anything. He owns everything, the whole of the heavens and the earth, everything that you can see and everything you cannot see, everything you know and don't know is under his power. Allah is bountiful. He owns everything. He says if you will worship him and be grateful for what he does for you, that he will even supply you with more bounty. He will give you more out of his bounties. Allah is Al-Ghani, and he is the one who owns everything. Al-Ghani is a word that means that not only is Allah rich, but he's so rich that, you know, people get so much wealth and they don't have to think about where's my rent money going to come from, how I'm going to pay you own the whole building, you own the whole farm, you own the whole field, you own the territory. And, you know, there are people in this country who own millions of acres of land, millions. So you think that person is worried about where his next meal is going to come from? But every day on the street, don't you pass people who are stressed out and worried and scared and suicidal and all those other wicked things because of their wondering where is their next meal going to come from or where they're going to sleep at that night or who's going to even give them a smile or a kind word? That's why Allah rewards charity so much, because being charitable to people who don't have is a very important part of life. It's a very important, and it's a thing that's real. You pass people all day long that are in big trouble when it comes to survival. Yes. So when you give something in charity, you are doing a big thing, not a little bitty thing. Be grateful to Allah. So Allah is so rich as Al-Ghani, he's not even concerned. That's what Ghani means. And he's Al-Mughni. He can make you rich. And the greatest richness that you can have, brothers and sisters, is internal richness, mental richness, moral richness, spiritual richness, human richness. If you get those riches strong in you, believe me, we're going to see you always with something material. And when you, with that mental richness and that blessing from Allah, you'll always be able to start over. So brothers and sisters, we're going to close here. May Allah bless each and every one of us. We thank Allah for guiding us and for leading us to this way of life. And we're going to close. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him. And O you who believe, do you likewise and give him a great salute. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. Our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family, for surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the chastisement of the hellfire. Ameen. Akam as-salat. Sadaqa al-Azim, Allah speaks the truth.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladhina An'amta 'Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi 'Alayhim Wa La Dhalin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله سبحان 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 الله That means highly glorified is Allah and He is perfect and no imperfection. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. That means every perfect praise belongs to Allah. The next is Allah is greater and more important than anything. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, or anyone. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. Al-Fatiha, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most gracious, most merciful. Malik Yawmiddin, divine ruler of the day of judgment. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. The alone do we worship. The alone whose aid we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Raid al-Maghdubi alayhim, not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down. Wala ad-dawlin. Ameen. Nor those who go astray. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We thank Allah for all of you all joining us today and all of those here in attendance. May Allah bless each and every one of us. We appreciate Brother Amin, Imam Amin Muhammad for hooking us up with the blogtalkradio.com
And we forever appreciate that kind of support for our Jummah. And brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to bless those who are sick and who are infirm to get back on their feet and have mercy upon them. And we ask Allah to bless those who are in the graves who've gone on before us and who will receive the best justice that exists, and that's from Allah. So we ask Allah to have mercy upon all of us and strengthen us in our family life, and let us be doers of good each and every day, all day. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we'll see you next Jummah. Alhamdulillah. We appreciate you for joining us.